Good afternoon, Australia. Good evening, America. We have had some challenges today. So you're listening to your radio host, Tony Lontis, live on Radio Tony Everyday Business. And today I'll be introducing you to the gorgeous Pragya Sharma from AdStarter. But before I do, just to let you know that I am broadcasting live from Telebudger Valley on the Gold Coast, and we have just been issued with evacuation orders because it's flooding and it's bucketing down rain. So that just adds to the excitement of the program. I figure I've got about an hour to an hour and a half before that heavy rain reaches our section of the creek, so why not go and do a live radio show? I know Pragya's been nervous about coming on this live show, so there's no way I was going to cancel the show for her. So just a reminder to all those listening live on LinkedIn and Radio Tony, we are on live streaming into both those platforms and also onto YouTube. If you want to know any further information about our amazing guest today, please pop on over to radiotony.com, look under the co-host section, and you will find links directly to Pragya and the team at AdStarter. Now, this is Radio Tony Everyday Business's last show for 2020. We will be back in 2021, but I'm having a little bit of a break over Christmas. And so I thought today I've got a really wonderful interviewee with a wonderful story. Our special guest today is Pragya, and she and her husband, Bapal, have created an amazing platform, which we'll talk about later in the show. But first, I want to talk about Pragya because her story is fascinating. She and her family emigrated to Australia from Nepal when Pragya was 10 years old, and life has been pretty much an adventure ever since. Good afternoon, Pragya.
Good afternoon, Tony. Thank you for having me on the show. I hope you're not too flooded down there.
Well, as I'm speaking to you, my husband is shifting the cars and the tractor offsite. So we shift them up off the property and up to higher ground. And the next step in that flood process is to shift the goats up onto the back veranda, strange as that may sound, and shift the llamas up to a high paddock. So we're all good. It's just you've got to wait and watch and follow the
Yeah, I hope it
signs.
all goes well for you.
I hope it all goes well. And I'm much better off doing a live show and not being anxious than running around watching the flood water rise. So,
Yeah, that's true.
and besides, I wanted to talk to you today. So it's your first time on live radio, and I know that you were a little nervous yesterday. How are you feeling today?
I'm extremely nervous. It's my first time on the radio, but that's okay. I'm sure I'll be fine.
You will
A little bit of challenge is always good.
It's good for the soul, isn't it? It's not good for the heart rate, but it's good for the soul.
Exactly, that's right.
When I was talking to you yesterday, we started talking about your Nepalese heritage, and you've got some really fabulous family connections. And I wanted to start the show talking about your grandfather.
Sure. Well, my grandfather on my mum's side was a prime minister of Nepal back in the 1950s. He was involved in removing the Rana dynasty, or a dictatorship that had ruled Nepal for over 100 years. He grew up within the comforts and luxury of the era, but he was well aware of poverty and injustice. So he led a political party for the removal of the Rana dynasty. It took a long time, but he got there in the
Yes.
end.
What an amazing family history to have, because that's really a beautiful history to draw strength from, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. From somebody who was actually sentenced to death in 1940 for his opposition to a dictatorship,
Yes.
and then to come through that
And rise
as
above
a
it.
prime minister of the country. Yeah, it's a pretty special, proud moment for us all.
Yes, fantastic. And we talked yesterday, so you've made Australia your home, but it wasn't always that way. There's an interesting story around how you and your family emigrated to Australia. So I'm hoping you can tell us about that today.
Yeah, sure. We came here because of a dare, actually. When somebody said to my dad, you won't be leaving the country, he wanted to prove them wrong. And that's how we got here. Otherwise, you know, we came from a good household, well-to-do household. As I said, you know, our family was fairly well connected. My dad had held a position of the director's role, and my mum also had a strong position. So we lived a fairly comfortable life there. But that obviously changed when we got to Australia because my parents had to start from scratch.
Yeah, that must have been so tough for them.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I mean, coming to another country, that comes with a new lifestyle. Unemployment was high at the time, so it was hard to find jobs. There weren't many Nepalese people living in Australia, so I can imagine how overwhelming and daunting it would have been for them.
It's a pretty brave move, isn't it?
But
the kids in the family, you loved it though, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, we absolutely loved it. It was something different. I was 10 at the time. I'd lived in Nepal for most of my life, except for when I was little, I was in the UK. So it was similar lifestyle to the UK. I didn't have to schooling is quite tough in Nepal. I remember doing something in grade 2, which I later learned in year 7, because I went to a private school there and the education system was a little bit different. So I enjoyed not having to do as much. So I obviously, you know, you can't beat the lifestyle here. I'd already made friends
Pretty lucky in Australia, aren't we? I remember you telling me a funny little thing that you kids used to do to determine whether you thought you were going back to Nepal, like early in the piece. What was that you used to look at to determine whether you thought you were going to go back to Nepal sooner rather than later?
Sure, I'll give you a little bit of background into that, actually. Because we came here in the 1990s, there was a massive recession. Back then, as you know, unemployment was high and life was pretty tough for most. My dad, like I said earlier, my dad found it hard to find a job at the time because he didn't have local knowledge. So it was a challenge for us. At first, so my parents had booked flights back to Nepal. All the furniture was sold and basically we just had a few weeks left. So my brother and I used to check the bag of rice to determine how close we were returning back to Nepal. If the rice hadn't been gone, how could we be going back? But luckily, my dad had a dream of doing a PhD. And in the last couple of weeks, he received a full scholarship. So he wanted to follow his dreams and he took up the offer. That was 30 years ago and now we call Australia home.
Which is fantastic for Australia. One of the statistics you and I were talking about yesterday in regards to Australia's population, and that was around the concept that there's 49% of our population are not Australian born.
Well, that's right. I mean, if you have a look at the statistics, overseas born or had parents overseas comprised only 25% in 2011. Now by 2016, which was at the last census, 49% of all Australians were either born overseas or had parents that were born overseas.
Which makes Australia a very diverse culturally a very diverse cultural place. So I'm actually, as a white Australian, even though I'm only about a fourth generation Australian, and my heritage goes back to Scotland and Ireland and the UK. I love the fact that we openly welcome such culturally diverse peoples to Australia, because it makes us a very rich nation with a wonderful diversity of thoughts and religions and all the rest of it. And I'm really glad that you guys came and made Australia home. I know we talked yesterday that Nepal is on my travel list and whenever we're able to travel again. But so your dad went on and did his PhD and has been quite successful, hasn't he?
Well, yeah, that's right. He did a PhD in strategy, and he's been lecturing at a university for a very long time. He was actually my university lecturer when I was doing my degree. Well, my mum was also a student there at the time. She has multiple degrees.
Oh, wow. So you come from a very intellectual family. So I know that you went to uni. What did you study?
I did a degree in information systems and a minor in marketing.
Fantastic. Yeah. And so you went on to get a job in marketing for one of our big banks.
And that's right. I first landed a job in the customer insights and market research team of one of the major banks here in Australia. And then I moved on from there. I was going to go traveling after that.
Yeah, I know.
But instead, I moved to Queensland. So I needed a bit of change, and this is what got me here. And since then, I've been in the property industry. In research again, doing research for commercial property.
Fantastic. So I want you to tell me the story about meeting your husband, Paul.
Well, after I'd completed my degree, I went back to Sydney.
Yes.
And when I was there, I met people through a mutual friend. That's how I met him. And I was returning back to Queensland after that because I needed change. And he followed me up, and rest is history. We've been together for 18 or 19 years, and we have a beautiful daughter who's almost 6 years.
Fantastic. And so the company that you and Bapul have now is called AdStarter. So can you tell our listeners what AdStarter is?
Yeah, well, the diverse and inclusive space is highly fragmented. So we wanted to create a one-stop shop to make it easy for everybody. So we created an online self-service marketplace that connects advertisers and ad space owners. Essentially, it's an ad booking platform which enables publishers to sell advertising space. It allows advertisers to place ads in diverse newspapers, magazines, outdoor media, and digital platforms. Advertisers can design custom ads, find the perfect location at the best cost, and it's all done through a single interface. The idea is that research has already been carried out in one place in regards to prices, audience analysis, distribution, publication dates, and ad formats. So advertisers just have to click design and place an order.
And it's a very simple platform, isn't it?
It really is. It's really easy to use. So if you're a media publisher, it would be as simple as, and have space to offer, it would be as simple as signing into our portal. We would do due diligence after that. And if approved, we would give them access to the platform with username and password, which then they would use to sign in. And from the demand side of things, it's a similar process. They would first sign up, create their profile search, compare, and then book ads. So it's very, very simple to use.
And I have to say that I am on AdStarter and have set up my advertising space in terms of Radio Tony shows, and it is completely simple, very easy to use, and it actually gives you the opportunity to completely target whoever you want to target, doesn't it, Radio?
Yeah, that's right. That's the idea of the marketplace, is that you can drill down to your niche. So when a publisher uploads their product, they would have who their demographic profile is, so in terms of age, gender, et cetera, and the advertisers can then go and search for what they need and place an ad accordingly. That's right.
And so AdStarter has platforms or spaces, I guess you'd call them, all over the world in all ranges of media, don't they?
Well, we do have, at the moment we're starting with Australia, but we're also going overseas. It allows put the ads in six different languages. So it translates into six different languages. But at the end of the day, yeah, you're right. It has the capacity or capability of going global. That's right.
Yeah, and that's what excites me, because I'm actually involved with AdStarter at that level. Pragya, can you tell us about some of the key benefits of the platform AdStarter?
Sure. Well, firstly, it's a self-service platform, so therefore it's accessible at all times. Ad campaigns are planned and executed in minutes, so you don't have to wait weeks. There's multilingual and translation services, making ad space accessible to a wider audience. And like we touched on earlier, it's the ability to access demographics
that
you wouldn't otherwise be able to.
Yeah. It's pretty innovative, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. It's a two-sided, as my husband tells me, it's a two-sided marketplace. And built on scalable technology. So it comes with integrated dashboards, a sophisticated ad editor and ad booking system, et cetera. Yeah, that's right.
It's very exciting to watch the development of something from the initial stages. And I also wondered, what was the thought behind starting AdStarter?
Well, yeah. I mean, we live in a day and age where diversity is the buzzword.
Yes.
You know, where there are people from various backgrounds, ideologies, political preferences, sexual orientation, or any other customs or practices. And so it is important that no one's overshadowed by ignorance or prejudice. Yes. Yeah. And as we were talking earlier, you know, 49% of Australians were either born here or had parents born overseas. Born overseas or had parents born overseas. Yeah. So that's a huge number. So capitalising on this trend, there have been a number of media outlets representing many of these groups.
But not one has them all together.
That's right. Whether it's in journals or magazines or radio and the like. But for various reasons, whether it be racism or discrimination or whatever the cause may be, they can, you know, these media formats can often feel marginalised. So what we're looking to do is to address some of that divide. By enabling diverse and multicultural publishers to communicate with mainstream advertisers, by providing a level playing field. We're looking to help marketers reach new audience by offering like a self-service marketplace that I suppose removes the logistical and language barriers that usually prevent campaigns from penetrating to this audience. So essentially we're using technology to open up communication to make
for everyone.
That's right, to make the interface between minorities and mainstream advertisers somewhat smoother or transparent.
So if you're a business and you've got a pretty niched target market, this platform actually allows you to directly market or connect with that niched target market. And again, as you know, I'm really passionate about non-traditional media, and I absolutely believe that the future of humanity will be in embracing non-traditional methods of promotion, marketing and advertising. And this platform just makes it a bit easier, well, can I say a lot easier, for you to source those markets and either advertise or market to them, or conversely find that those components of the market that you want to reach. So it goes both ways.
Well, that's right, Tony. You know, at the moment, say if you were to target a particular ethnicity, it's a fairly challenging job, at least here in Australia it is. Or if you wanted to target the LGBTQ group, or whether it's the disability sector or advocates of equality, whoever it may be. So we're offering that service to a range of diverse and multicultural groups. So hoping to make it easier for everybody.
I had a question around the technology behind the platform. Can you explain a little bit of that to us, Pragya?
Well, it's built around scalable technology, as my husband tells me. He's the IT expert. And with a cloud infrastructure. So it's scalable.
And simplicity of use, like it's a beautifully easy platform to navigate.
Yeah, that's right. It's very simple. You just go in. It's all there on the website. It's very easy. It's on the main page, the self-service page. You go there, you search for what you want, and then off you go with that. That's right.
And I can vouch for that because, as I've said before, I've already done that and tested it out, tried it out to see how easy it was, and it was incredibly easy. Pragya, I want to know about your vision for ads data.
Well, we've seen an increase in diversity in media.
Which is through good.
In Australia, through relevance, I suppose, as marketers try and reach beyond the mainstream audience by communicating with audience as individuals, I suppose. There are many still sort of failing to capitalise on the benefits of genuinely connecting with the audience. I mean, we're looking at, this is a huge population base, and it should be of considerable interest to marketing professionals.
It should.
Due to the present and future purchasing power. However, you know, many times they're overlooked in advertising in media.
They are.
Just to give you, I'll give you an example. I was looking through the federal government's expenditure on ethnic media, and I was surprised to find that their investment in ethnic media was just 6.5% of overall advertising expenditure. And this is a party that strongly encourages the use of ethnic media outlets in their advertising. So you can, so you can imagine it would be even less elsewhere. Which is, that's right. So quite clearly it's below its proportional population share.
Exactly.
And there's a huge market there. If we can get it.
So effectively their budget is ignoring almost 40% of the population.
Well, that's right. And that's when you're looking at the population, 49% is just your migrant population.
Yes.
But then on top of that would be your, you know, LGBTQ group, your, you know, there's so many other disability sector and there's so many other sectors beyond just that. So it's a large part of the market. That's right.
Yeah, yeah. Do you think that going into the future we will see some more focus from traditional media on this really big marketplace?
Well, we would like to hope so. I mean, the value and power of these media will continue to rise as long as there is migration to this country, as we aspire for equality amongst all. So,
Do you also see the platform as being a space for women as well? Because generally speaking, women are also in that experience the similar sorts of racism and the.
Well, that's right. I mean, that's right. It's for everybody. It's we're in that diverse and inclusive space, which means a range of people in society. Whether it be multicultural, which is, I suppose, is your larger component. But, any others in that group, definitely. So I suppose they come under the advocates, you know, equal rights.
I still find it incredible that we have this wonderfully beautiful big population in Australia and the government is investing so little in communicating with them, because that at the end of the day, that's what marketing and advertising is. It's trying to communicate with a particular community or group. I do find it challenging that they would not be investing more in talking to that large group of people. Do you see AdStarter being a key in that space?
Yeah, well, I suppose it could be due, you know, for many it could be due to I've gone blank. What was the question again?
That's okay. Do you think that going forward and in the future that the government and all the rest of us who are in that communication space will start to invest more heavily in the diversity that we see?
Yeah, it's probably due to language barriers and the like at the moment, and the accessibility of these media. It's quite hard to find who they are firstly, and then to get information from them, because it's so scattered, it's so highly fragmented. So having all of that in the one place and ready for people to see and compare, and so we're hoping when advertisers see all of that, that it'll become easier, and therefore it will become part of an alternative to mainstream media. That's right.
Absolutely. because I'm thinking of it from an advertiser or marketer's perspective, that you can go in to AdStarter, and I'm English speaking and talking right in English, but I could effectively place an ad for the Chinese speaking community or the Nepalese speaking community just by using AdStarter. That's my correct understanding,
Greg? Yeah, that's right. At the moment, if we were to target the Chinese market in Australia, it is actually quite hard. You have to find out who they are nationally first, and then get media rates from them, compare them. But we have a system which already does that, and you can compare it side by side, which makes it easier for people to just go and click. It's just a matter of click and go. Yeah,
which makes it incredibly simple if you wanted to diversify your market and start to tap into some of the diverse communities across Australia. And it makes it simple for you to connect with them without too much effort. And so you might be able to find a completely new market just by using the platform.
Well, that's right. Well, our goal is to increase the exposure of publishers in such a way that advertisers feel confident they can locate these newspapers or magazines that are typically hard to read. So by providing a platform, you know, we expect that the expectations are changed or any misinformation minimised. So marketers are more confident about other forms of media than they might otherwise consider.
And it works well with non-traditional media outlets. So, for example, Radio Tony, I'm in non-traditional media. I'm not on one of the major channels. So for any of us who are working in media, marketing and promotion in something that's non-traditional, this platform helps you gain access to other markets. It's brilliant, really.
Yeah, that's right. We would love to see people like yourselves using our platform. Yeah, we'd also like, to be able to give a voice to people that may not otherwise have one. So, yeah.
Something that people might not have thought of either is that it opens up to the market to access to, say, some podcasts. So perhaps your podcast is about, let's use your background. So perhaps your podcast is about Nepalese immigrants. And so you want to be marketing your podcast, you want to obviously market it to anyone in the world, but you particularly want to target it to Nepalese immigrants. And so using AdStarter, you can either advertise that you have space on your podcast, or conversely, if you want to advertise specifically to the Nepalese people, then there's a podcast where you can place your advert and know that it will be viewed by your target market. And that's what you're trying to create with AdStarter.
Yeah, that's right. So any advertising space that people may have, whether it's small, whether it's in their cars, whether it's at home, whether it's a magazine space, whether it's newspapers, radio, TV, whatever it may be, we have a space for that. That's right.
And all it takes on the platform is just going in and simply setting it up. So if you've got, I don't know, let's use a billboard, for instance. You've got a billboard on your property that's on Highway X going to blah, blah city, and you want some advertising. Well, if you pop it on AdStarter, then chances are someone will be looking for billboard advertising where you are, and it increases your likelihood of filling that space and getting paid advertising. And AdStarta just facilitates that process.
That's right.
With a particular focus on linguistically diverse peoples and cultures.
Yeah, and that's right. Whilst we are targeting Australia for now, we are expanding globally. So how amazing would it be with a robust, catalogue of information such as that?
Yeah, yeah. And if you think about it and you want to target a certain geographical area, let's go with Scotland, then you can jump on AdStarta and find the spots or advertising that's available, and off you go. Like, it's made simple rather than the traditional way of searching for different media outlets, the type of media, what's available, what's not available, and the cost. It's all there on one platform. So if you're searching for advertising, you will just go in, find your niched area, and then it will flip up all the different amounts of and types of advertising and the costs associated. So it makes it quite easy to work out where you want to place your advertisement or whatever it is, your promotion, and get it directly to that particular market.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we love our product, and so we're obviously always out there in the market trying to promote it.
I was going to say,
and we would love for people to be using it.
Yes, we want to. Together with Pragya, we want to encourage people to look at this platform. And so if you're interested and you want to jump on and have a look at the platform itself, it's simply AdStarta, A-D-S-T-A-R-T-R, that's A-D-S-T-A-R-T-R.com. That's it. And jump on and jump in and have a look. And Pragya, on the website, there's ability to connect with, if you've got questions.
Yes, that's right. You should get a pop-up where you can ask questions.
Yes.
Yeah, or you can always send us an email.
An email.
Yeah, that's right.
If you've got questions. And also if people wanted to ask you in person, there's also the ability to connect with you and you'll run them through how it works and what it does.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Our phone number is right up on top. So anytime anyone has any questions, please ring that number.
Absolutely.
And one of us is always available to answer your call.
I was just going to say, you're always available to answer calls around the technology and how the platform works and how to set it up. Although, again, I have to say, it's really quite simple. If I, as a middle-aged technophobe, can do it, then many other people will be able to do it just as simply as I can. It's
simple. That's right. There might be a time lag between when you sign up and when we approve. We need to do a little bit of due diligence. That's right. So that would probably be your only time. But we will get back to you with an email and let you know that it has been approved.
Yep. That's part of the other, you wanted to create a platform that was safe for these particular groups as well, and that's why you have due diligence around checking the advertiser is a legitimate advertiser before you allow them to pop up their spaces on the platform. Yeah, that's right.
So the robots aren't going in there doing whatever it is. So we want it to be legitimate, like you say.
Yeah, yeah. So you want people to know that if they book advertising with a certain group or company that has advertising space, that they actually get that advertising space as stated and as charged. So behind the platform, you guys are working to make sure that it's legitimate and safe and easy to use. And that's part of what you do all the time, isn't it?
Absolutely, that's right. And it's inbuilt throughout the system.
Yes. Safety checks.
That's right. There's safety checks all along the way. That's right.
So, Pragya, before we completely run out of time, I just want to touch back to your parents. They're still in Australia and still teaching, aren't they?
Yes, that's right. My dad had a little bit of health problem a few months ago, but he's now back on track, and so he'll be going back to university again
in the new
year. Yeah, but my mum has retired, and she's living on the Sunshine Coast, enjoying the gardening life. Yeah, she loves her garden. Probably spends 3 to 4 hours every day in the garden. It's always immaculate. And, yeah, she has vegetable garden with lots of veggies growing.
Yeah. Does she share them with you guys?
Yes, when we're here because we live in Brisbane. But
yeah,
she's
right
on the Sunshine Coast, which is where I am at the moment. But when we're here, we get to eat homegrown meals.
Yeah. And has your brother remained in Australia as well?
Yeah, that's right. He's living here on the Sunshine Coast as well. He's an accountant by profession, and he has his own tax accounting business also. So we're an hour away in Brisbane, but
How often do your parents get back to Nepal?
Probably every 2 to 3 years. It really depends. There is no such pattern, but sometimes it's a year, sometimes it's a few times a year, and other times it can go up to 3-4 years. But they're always going back, and there's the telephone conversation with their family back home. And we have a huge family actually, because my dad has 7 brothers and sisters, and mum's also similar as well. So we have a very big family.
Still in Nepal, or have some of them?
Most of them are in Nepal. We have a few cousins. I have a few cousins living here. It's the younger generation that usually travel abroad for higher education.
And what about you? Do you get back to Nepal often, or, like, I know Australia is essentially your home, but do you go back as well?
Yeah, I'm not as frequent as my parents. The longest I have not been back was 8 years. But now, I try and go back whenever I can. My husband, he's still got family there. His mum and dad still living in Nepal, so we have to go back and visit them. And it's always nice to take my daughter with me back to Nepal as well, so she can see her line of ancestry, I suppose.
Does she enjoy that, being over there and experiencing that another culture?
She loves it because it's chaotic, and that's what kids love. She managed to, while we were there, she was there. We took her there when she was 3 years old. And she managed to get us taxis. She would hail the driver. She even got us a cake and an ice cream once by talking to a person at a hotel.
Is she bilingual?
She used to be. Up until last year, she used to speak Nepalese at home. But ever since going to school. And I needed her to speak English, so I started speaking English at home with her, and now she hardly speaks the language.
you know, that's it's not going to leave her, is it? Like, she's still going to, if you talk Nepalese from time to time, she's still going to retain the basics of that language, isn't she?
Yeah, that's right. She understands completely because my parents speak to her in Nepalese and I speak to her in Nepalese from time to time. People speak to her in Nepalese as well. So yep. She understands. She just doesn't respond back in Nepalese. And she told my sister-in-law yesterday that she could speak the language and that was one word.
Oh, goodness me. So it must be lovely for your parents to be, for her to spend time with them.
Yeah, they absolutely love spending time with her because we only, we live an hour and a half away. So we only get a chance to come up on weekends. Yeah, yeah, and the traffic can be quite bad. But we try and get up here every few weeks. And now during school holidays, we'll be staying here until Christmas. So that's over a week.
So you're going to spend Christmas with your parents?
That's right.
Oh, yay. That'll be lovely. Yay. That'll be lovely. Speaking of Christmas, are there some, and I digress a bit, I'm going to come back to Ad's daughter in a minute, but are there particular Nepalese traditions around Christmas, or is Christmas not recognised in the Nepalese culture?
Well, a large majority of Nepalese are Hindu. So Christmas is not part of Hindu religion. It's,
correct.
But in Hinduism, we are taught to respect all beings, all religions. Yes. So I celebrate anything there is. If there's fun, then I'm onto it.
And I was going to say, how can you not celebrate Christmas with little ones?
Well, that's right. It's a fantastic time of the year. It's always nice when you go out in the shops to see the lights, the Santa Claus. And my daughter believes in Santa Claus still, though last year she did say, that looks like the wrapping that you had at home. And she said, that looks like your writing. So she's really clever. She's, I think, slowly catching on to the idea that
say, with mum and dad so clever, there's a fair chance that she's going to have that figured out pretty shortly.
I think so, very soon. I thought she would have by this year, but no, there is. She still enjoys Santa Claus.
Yeah, it's very special when they're little and they get so excited about Christmas. And then there's the whole, you know, opening presents and Santa coming and all the rest of it. My kids had a little tradition of leaving a carrot out for the reindeers, Santa's reindeers.
Oh.
They continued doing that up until, gosh, they were almost teenagers when they well and truly knew the secrets of Santa.
Why not?
And so they'd leave the carrots out and, of course, I'd have to wait until they go to sleep. And, of course, you know, teenagers can stay up really late if you and I'd be trying to get them off to bed so that I could go along and crunch up the carrot and spread it through the hallway of the house. And they, even though they knew that it was that it wasn't real,
absolutely. There's
I didn't want them to lose.
Oh yeah, I still do too. Otherwise, you miss out on Christmas gifts.
Yes, that's exactly right. Exactly right. Oh, Pragya, what a wonderful conversation to have in the lead up to Christmas. And I just want to come back right back to where we started. And Pragya and the team at AdStarter, we wanted to do this show before Christmas because in the new year, in 2021, Pragya and I will be getting together to do further shows around the system and around the platform and how it works. And we want to get into bits of the technical and setup of it, but we wanted to do an introductory show so that you could get to know Pregya and the vision behind the platform, which I am very much on board with and want to help with going into the future. We will be back in 2021 periodically to talk again about AdStarter. But in the meantime, I just want you to know that you can jump on to adstarter.com, have a look around the platform, see what it offers, and know that it is one of those platforms for the future and for the future of advertising, marketing, and promotion from either side of the perspective. Pregya, thank you so much for coming on the show today. I know you were nervous. You've done an amazing job with amazing explanations of the platform. I look forward to more interviews in 2021 with you around AdStarter platform. And with that, my wonderful listeners, thank you, Pregya. Have a wonderful Christmas.
Thank you. Thanks, Tony.
A wonderful time with that precious little one and your family. And for our listeners, Merry Christmas. And we will be back in 2021 with more Radio Tony Everyday Business. I'm off to check flood levels and see we haven't been washed away, and I'll join you again in 2021. Thank you, Pregya. Very Merry Christmas, everyone. Over to you, TJ.
Thanks, Tony. Thank you for having me on the show, Tony.
It's my pleasure.